This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on Old Dan. Come on, Dan. Let's go. Got to get up. Got to get there somewhere to meet some folks standing around. Let's do that. And come on, let's go. We're bringing these folks a study on this 11th chapter of Hebrews. Dan, how you liking these studies? You liking them all right? Don't shake your head now. I know horse flies is bothering you a little bit, but we'll get something put on you there in a day or two. And I just wondered how you thought about these messages. Maybe you pay more attention than some of the folks who listen to the Old Trailblazer. But we're bringing these messages how on the 11th chapter of Hebrews, how that the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea there with dry feet, and the Lord turned loose all those wicked individuals to destroy them. We see here that all attempts of unbelievers to obtain a faith, what faith secures to the believer, is utterly foolish and futile, and they're doomed to certain disappointment. Brother, you can't work. You can't make faith available. You can't make faith real. God gives that faith to the believer by faith. You can't do it. Listen, the world will watch a believer as he faces trials. That's why I tell you folks, be careful. May your life exemplify a life of Christ in your heart and your life. But the world will watch you as you face those heartaches and tribulation and trials and even death. And they will, some will maybe try to imitate that life. They can't do it. No. But let me call your attention to these words. We read them in our last study there. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. It didn't say by faith the Jews or Hebrews passed through the Red Sea. No, but it says they there refers to Moses, Aaron, Caleb, Joshua, and others who walk by faith. Now, let me call your attention to a great fact here that's usually overlooked. We have an illustration here of the fact that unbelievers are made partakers of temporal blessings. Now, that's a fact that we all ought to think about. Oftentimes, my friend, you're blessed because of a godly wife or a godly husband or even godly children. You children are blessed because your parents know the Lord. I'm just telling you, my friend, we have an illustration here how the unbelievers are made partakers of temporal blessing as a result of their association with the people of God. Every one of you unbelievers here this morning who hear me, you're made partakers of the spiritual blessings of the Old Trailblazers ministry. You are, because of the faith of the believers who help support this broadcast and who pray for it day by day. Now, for instance, let me give you an illustration. In Acts 27:24, when God saved that entire crew of the ship because of the Apostle Paul's faith, the whole crew, over 200 men, were saved because of the Apostle Paul, the only saved person on that ship. You remember that story, don't you? And listen, many an unbeliever never realizes what he has is due to the fact of his association with some saint or with the saints of God. Here's an unsaved wife that's enjoying all the temporal blessings of that saved husband, not realizing that if he wasn't saved, there may not have a thing in this world to eat. But because of his faith in an eternal God, the rest of the family enjoy the temporal blessings of that home. And your home, maybe every one of you lost, but because of your association with this assembly, Pastor Pendarvis and this assembly here who pray day in and day out for individuals. But listen, you're enjoying the temporal blessings that you would not enjoy because of the standard for which this church stands for. Folks don't smoke, they don't drink, no nightlife there, they don't throw their money away because of the influence that this ministry has had. And I know for a fact, and I know Pastor Shelton told me many years ago, if an individual got out of high school and went out on the job market to get a job, and the individual would say, where you go to church, my man? Well, my boy, I go over there at Pastor Shelton's on Opelousas Avenue. That was one of the best references they could have given. And I know I've given references to many. But the people of New Orleans knew that if they went to church under Pastor Shelton's preaching, they were individuals who were clean, morally clean, and decent people. And my friend, that's what the Lord does. That's right. That's right. And now listen, average family never has, because they spend much time on the foolish things. That's true. And we see the multitudes here that enjoy the temple blessing because of Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb and others. And they pass through by faith. Pharaoh had consented to let the Hebrews go, but as soon he repented, being informed by his spies that the Hebrews were virtually held prisoners facing the Red Sea, he determined to pursue them, to destroy them, if he couldn't bring them back. We have a picture here of a mighty brutal monarch pursuing a helpless group of slaves with a mighty army. Listen, if he could have caught up with them, what a slaughter. Then the Israelites beheld the Egyptians coming after them. They began to complain and raise a cry against Moses, say, Why didn't you leave us alone? Why didn't you let us serve the Egyptians? Over there in Exodus 14:12. How many of you have said over and over and over, Pastor, why haven't you let me alone? Did you know we can't leave you alone? Trailblazer can't leave you alone. You call me, write me, and tell me that you want to be saved. I can't leave you alone. I hold you up before God's throne day in and day out. I know some of you think I don't care for you, but I do. I do. That's the reason I love to talk to you on the phone or over through the mail, through the email. I love to hear what's on your heart. And I tell you, I pray for you. I do. I pray for you. My heart and my mind and all is goes out to see you saved now, friend. Now, how many of you have said to me, Pastor, don't leave me alone. Don't let up. Don't leave me alone. Why do you continue to pray for me? Because I have to. I can't leave you alone. Knowing that you're lost, knowing you're going out to a devil's hell, you're going to plunge into where there'll be nothing but weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, my friend, but a burning torment. I can't let you go. I asked my folks here recently in one of our services, I said, can any of y'all just let your mind wander for a moment or two? Just quit thinking about what you got to do tomorrow and tonight and all those things. Just quit thinking about it and let your mind just drift slowly back. And then think about eternity. Think about what if. What if you're never saved? What if? The Bible says there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says where the fire is not quenched, and the worm dies not. Now, I don't care what the modernists say. Well, hell, it just burned up and that's it, like a dog on the side of the road. No, that's not true, my friend. The Bible is true. And it's eternal. Eternal. I can't understand it. I can't fathom it. I can't describe it. I can't understand it. But, oh, my friend, to think if you never get saved, it doesn't matter what you're doing right now. It doesn't matter if you're wealthy and well-off and high society. It doesn't matter if you're down in the dumps in the hog pen of sin. It doesn't matter. Your soul is eternal. That's the only thing you have that's going to go on through eternity is your soul. When your body draws its last breath, and that could be any time, my friend, did you know you're only 3 heartbeats away from hell? 3 heartbeats. And I have people write me and say, don't be saying that, Pastor. You make me angry. You make me afraid. Well, my friend, I wish I could. I wish I could make you angry enough to turn to the Lord. I wish I could make you afraid enough to where you couldn't rest, where you'd stay on your knees day and night, so to speak, crying unto the Lord. I know we have to make a living. I know we have to do those things. And I know. But, my friend, you have much spare time. You have much free time. You riding a tractor back there on the back 40. You could pray, Lord. Lord, don't leave me. You riding an old 18-wheeler out there on I-75. Lord, don't let me go out into eternity. You could be driving a milk truck out there somewhere, delivering milk out in the country somewhere. You could be the captain of a great ocean liner out there somewhere, all these cruises, 2,000 people on your ship under your direction. You could be crying, Lord, every turn of the wheel. Lord, don't let me go. You don't have to tell folks. Lord shows you lost. Keep your mouth shut. Cry unto the Lord. You know, nobody has to say, old kook over there is an old lost sinner. He thinks he's lost. You don't have to tell folks that unless the Lord makes you do it. If you're ashamed of it, the Lord may make you do it. But, my friend, you can cry unto the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't have to say anything. You have a spirit of crying, a spirit of prayer, a spirit of longing after the Lord. The Lord knows. The Lord's ears are always open to hear your cry, and he'll hear you. And he says so many places. Go there and look up in the Psalms where he says, you cry unto the Lord, he'll hear you. And I tell you this, I heard a man say the Lord don't hear a sinner's prayer. That's the only prayer I believe the Lord does hear is a sinner's prayer. Oh, listen, my friend. Then I heard a preacher the other day, he was talking about the Pharisee and the publican in the temple, and the Pharisee was crying, Lord, I don't do this, and I don't do that. And he said, well, the old publican was saved because the lost people didn't go in the temple. Now, my friend, that's a stretch of the imagination, isn't it? That old Pharisee wasn't saved. He believed nothing but pumping up himself, thumping himself on the back, almost breaking his arm, patting himself on the back. But that poor old publican, old sinner over there somewhere, stand off over there in the corner. His eyes lifted up, and he said, he wouldn't even lift up his eye, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, that's all you have to pray, my friend. The Lord will answer that prayer. Praying the prayer is not salvation, but the Lord will answer that prayer. He'll bring you to see you're not worthy to be saved. You know the Lord don't have to save you. Is the Lord dealing with your heart, my friend? The Lord don't have to do that. All you have to do to go to hell is the Lord to leave you alone. Just leave you alone. Don't cross your path. The Lord doesn't deal with everybody. The multitudes know nothing about the Holy Spirit conviction. They know nothing about the Lord dealing with their heart. It's only those of God's elect, my friend. You say, oh, there you go, Trailblazer, talking about that election stuff. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Peter told that group, he said, that you are a chosen generation. I'm one of that chosen generation. Are you? If you saved, you are. And I tell you this, every individual who ever gets saved comes to see that the Lord chose him. He didn't choose the Lord. Oh, no, he didn't choose the Lord. The Lord chose him. But I tell you, it's great to know the Lord. One of the greatest things, the greatest thing in the world is to know the Lord in the forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness. What did the Lord say on the cross, my friend? I get so wound up sometimes. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, my friend, that's the greatest thing that you can ever hear. Father, forgive them. Are you forgiven? Do you have a load of sin on your back that you can't hardly carry? The Lord said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And that's what he did to old Trailblazer one day. He said, forgive him. Forgive that old Trailblazer. I paid for his sin debt. I paid my blood paid for that old sinner. My friend, would you look to the Lord? The old Trailblazer's hungry to hear from you. Hungry to hear from you folks who tell me you know the Lord. Write me and encourage me. Would you do that? Let me hear from you and help me with the broadcast. I don't matter if it's for a nickel or a dollar, a dime or a hundred. It don't matter. I appreciate everything you do, and I'm remiss in not telling you how thankful we are here at Radio Mission for all that you do, keeping these broadcasts going out. That's what the Lord has ordained us to do and led us to do. And he gave me that verse. He said, preach the gospel. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all long suffering. That's what the old Trailblazer's motto is. But I wish you would write me. Let me hear from you. Pray for me. And then go there to my website, radiomission.org, and you'll find much about Radio Mission. And then remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer. Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Until next time, may God bless you. Goodbye.